Hello, everyone. Welcome to the debut of Belmont Buzz, Belmont's newest talk show. It's a collaboration between Belmont Media Center and Wicked Local Belmont. I'm Joanna Julis, the local journalist, and today we're going to talk about what the latest buzz is in Belmont, and that is the upcoming debt exclusion vote November 6th. And here to talk about that with me today is Ellen Schreiber and Jesse Bennett. I am going to briefly introduce these ladies. I think, to be honest with you, I think Ellen Schreiber needs little introduction. She is one of Belmont's busiest bees. She has lived in the town for 22 years. She has a ninth grader and a sixth grader. She currently serves on the warrant committee and is a town meeting member. She is a leader for the Yes campaign, Yes for Belmont campaign, for the debt exclusion. She serves on the Veterans Memorial Committee. She's on the board of the Foundation for Belmont Education. Are you still president of Belmont Kids Space?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. She's a charity PTO member.
That was when my kids were little.
Right? Got that. Okay. And you know, not a Winbrook PTO member either.
No, no.
But she also was very active in helping get Joey's Park rebuilt. She was on the Underwood Pool Building Committee and helped fundraise for that. She's just, I mean, anyone wants to get something done in Belmont, just call Ellen. Ellen is your woman.
Please don't.
And Jesse, and actually in her spare time, I want to say that she sings in the Family Folk Chorale. She enjoys playing board games, reading books, going to theater movies, and watching her kids play sports.
Oh, yeah.
I find it hard to believe you have spare time with all that you do. But that's great. And Jesse, you've lived in Belmont for 11 years. Mm-hmm. You have a seventh grader and a third grader. You're also a town meeting member and a member of the high school traffic working group. She serves on the boards of the Burbank PTA, you still are, and Chenery PTO, and you've been part of the townwide Safe Routes to School group for 4 years. And you're also on the board of the Foundation for Belmont Education and the Belmont After School Enrichment Collaborative. So. Yep. I've got two very active women here, both with nonprofit field experience, I might add. So mm-hmm. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. Mm-hmm. So one of you can answer this question. What is the message the Yes campaign is trying to get to Belmont voters, and how are you doing that?
Well, we are trying to help Belmont voters realize that we have a big decision to make on November 6th. We are deciding whether or not to fund the Belmont 7 to 12 school. The funding is crucial. The project is really important for our town. Once we do this, we will solve the big overcrowding problem we have in all of our schools. So with this one project, we solve overcrowding townwide. We do it, we're done, and then our schools are in really good shape for the next 50 years.
And I think the other part of the message is that this is the most fiscally responsible solution to the problems that we're facing. It does it in one project. It does it with very little disruption. I mean, all construction projects are disruptive, but this one is incredibly well phased. We have kids staying in a classroom until they can move into a brand new classroom. So we're not messing around with trying to relocate people. Right. And it is coming with a huge amount of money from the state, $80 million, that we will not have if we decide to not accept that funding on November 6th by voting yes.
So how are you getting the word out? How are you getting this message to the registered Belmont voters?
So we're doing a lot of things, and we have been for many months now. We have been mailing to people. Everybody should have gotten a few different postcards in the mail.
Yes, I did.
Talking about the story. We are, you know, reaching people through door-to-door. We're going around and we're talking to voters, and we want them to ask their questions because it's a big, complicated project and it's going to cost a lot of money. So everybody has questions. We want them to have a chance to ask them. Mm-hmm. But one of the really cool things that we're doing, several months ago, we decided that we wanted to be able to communicate to people through video. Mm-hmm. But it's very hard to show something like overcrowding. So we looked at different ways of doing it. And we had been looking at different videos and found these explainer videos that do such a really cool, fun, engaging job of getting across something that's pretty complicated mm-hmm. in very little time.
Has it been launched? Have people been seeing it?
We launched it yesterday, mm-hmm. and there's been a flood of response about it. It's fun, it's easy to share, and it's 2 minutes. It's easy to watch.
Yeah,
and
really
it hits
simplifies.
On all the main points.
Definitely hits on all the main points. Now, truthfully, Ellen and Jesse, I haven't seen any no signs around town. And as the editor of the Belmont paper, I've only received 2 no letters. Mm-hmm. I know that there was a campaign that many considered a no campaign called Safe Schools Belmont. They filed campaign finance papers with the town clerk September 20th. They have since dissolved. They officially dissolved October 23rd. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, I haven't seen much opposition, but what have you heard? I mean, are you hearing people that have their doubts about this?
I got it. So there's still pretty healthy debate online, in particular. On the Facebook streams of like different Belmont-based groups. There's been, you know, there are several people who are just not convinced and are very vocal about their not being convinced. I think there's also the issue of that people might not be informed about what this project really does. And I mean, the people who are outside of, you know, the well-connected, well-informed Belmont folks who always keep up with what's going on, who might get to the polls and just think, well, I heard that was really expensive and I'm just going to vote no. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that everybody in town has the opportunity to hear the facts about why this is a good idea to go forward with this project, why we think it's the most fiscally responsible way forward, why we feel like it's crucial to providing the education that we believe mm-hmm. in Belmont.
So what do you tell people who squawk at the price tag of $295 million?
Well, the first thing I say is that we're going to spend some money anyway. You know, we have a must-fix series of problems in our school system. So we have an option that is on the table right now that we have worked as a town for 2.5 years to develop. And it's a really good solution. It is expensive, but high schools are expensive. So if you look even just at our neighbors, Arlington is in the process of doing a new high school. Mm-hmm. Their estimate is over $300 million. It's $308 million.
Really?
Waltham is in the process of working on a new high school. Theirs is going to be over $300 million as well. Mm-hmm. And in both of those cases, it's a school being built for fewer kids, for fewer grades, but for more money. So while this project is expensive, it is, there's no doubt, but it's less than other comparable projects, and it's less than we're going to wind up spending if we don't do this. Mm-hmm. So the building committee and the superintendent did some preliminary planning. This is really the school department, preliminary planning of what do they do if we don't build this 7 to 12 school.
Yes. Yep.
And, you know, they have to turn around the very next day and start asking for more modular classrooms.
Right.
We already have 16. Mm-hmm. We'd get 32 more. That's 48 classrooms, 1,200 kids in temporary classrooms. Mm-hmm. Then there needs to be a renovation project on the Chenery, then a renovation project on the high school. The total bill for that is $247 million compared to $213 that we're going to spend right now for this current project. So we would wind up spending more money for a worse solution. And so that's what I keep trying to talk to people about, is that we have a great solution, but we also have the solution that's going to cost Belmont taxpayers the least.
And this is the solution mm-hmm. that the Massachusetts School Building Authority has given us the okay to go ahead on. This is the one we've been working with them on. It's the one that was determined to be the best way forward for our town, and it is the one that comes with $80 million from the state. That's why we can say this is a $295 million project. We're getting $80 million. We've spent $2 million just on all of the work that we've done so far. So it is, at the end of the day, $213 million for the taxpayers in the town of Belmont.
And I should add one thing,
okay.
if you don't mind, and that is that the MSBA money, this $80 million, It is only for this project, right? This is their process. This is their rules.
Okay.
And so if we don't approve this project, the $80 million goes away.
Yeah.
And so there we are.
That was one of my questions. But let me ask you this. Was there a less expensive way they could have done this, a less expensive solution?
So there were a lot of options that they explored.
That's like nine altogether, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It was different grade configurations. They looked at renovation only. They looked at renovation with an addition and purely a new building. We chose in the middle. We're doing a renovation with an addition. So we're saving money by renovating the field house and the pool and not having to build those from scratch.
Right. And I know that the MSPA doesn't even cover a new pool.
Yeah, they won't allow you to build one. So if we had gone that route, we would have lost our pool. But so, you know, here we are. Are there cheaper options? I don't think that's exactly the way to look at it. I think what you need to think about is that the building committee took all nine of those options and explored them in depth. And they were looking for what is the right solution and what is the most cost-effective solution.
Okay.
And that's what they came up with.
And the reality is that we get, this is an amazing, like, brilliant plan that actually solves all the problems that we have in the district right now.
Yeah.
If we only...
How does it solve those problems?
It opens up space in every single school in the district. By moving the 7th and 8th grade from the Chenery to this new building, we then can move one grade from the elementary schools into the Chenery. So we have now reduced the Chenery from a four-grade school to a three-grade school.
I see.
And we've reduced the elementary schools from five grades to four.
Okay.
We instantly get more space for them to do the learning that they need to do and that they're way overcrowded for at this point. And then on the high school level, we're building enough space to accommodate all of the 9th through 12th graders and all of 7th through 8th graders. And
I see.
Okay. Yeah.
So one project solves the problems with overcrowding district-wide.
Right, which would have been very expensive to solve any other way, much more than we're spending now.
And
what do you say to people who are concerned about that configuration and the changes to all the configurations district-wide? It'll now be K through 3, 4 through 6, and 7 through 12. So what do you say to people who are concerned about those?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that it's actually not so much 7 through 12 as it's 7 and 8 and then 9 through 12. There are two schools in one building that are going to be operating with separate entrances, separate start times, separate stairwells to get up to their core classrooms. They'll be sharing some resources on the first floor, but they'll be doing it in a phased way. So 7th and 8th graders are up in their teams doing their teamwork. The 9th through 12th graders come down and use the music rooms, use the art rooms, have gym. Vice versa, they go back up to their core classes, and then the 7th and 8th graders come down and use that shared space.
Okay.
So it's very efficient. 7th and 8th graders will be treated like 7th and 8th graders. They're going to be in assigned seating in the cafeteria at their tables and be well supervised. They're not going to be in the same space as the 9th through 12th graders. They're going to be kept in team settings that are a big improvement, actually, over what we have at Chenery right now, in that they will be in kind of their own little pods. So they'll be kept with their team of about 80 to 100 students throughout the day. And the setup is more conducive. It's more flexible. Right now at Chenery, sometimes you have like one class at one end of a hallway, you have another class at another end of a hallway. You've got to go through a wall of students to get through. With these little pods, they'll be like all right in one space all day long, a lot easier for transitions. And the classrooms between them can open up much more easily than what we have.
What do you say to people who are concerned about what a building like this is going to cost to operate?
So we have an amazing building committee. We really do. And we have, you know, folks who are in the industry. They've done projects like this before. We've hired really good architects. We've hired an owner's project manager who is essentially our professional project manager looking out for our interests. And I say all of that because what it means is that we've got lots of eyes on designing a building that is efficient, that where the operating cost is low. There's been a big push around energy efficiency.
Yes,
so the building is going to be zero net energy, which means that at the end of the day, the money that we're spending on energy. We're also producing as a town. And that is going to have a significant positive impact on our operating budget.
Okay.
And I think that on top of, with you know, if we look at what's there right now, I mean, we've got a plumbing system, heating system, electrical systems that really are in need of complete replacement already. And that's one of the reasons why just doing a reno would be so expensive on its own. I mean, everything needs to be replaced at this point. And they're just at the end of their useful operating lives. So, I mean, I've actually heard stories of the maintenance staff, like, having to fabricate parts that are no longer available on the open market when something breaks.
Oh, really?
So, you know, these things add to your cost of maintenance. And I think that, you know, having this state, you know, this modern, this contemporary, like, zero net energy building that is operating, you know, is built for what they need right now will be like a huge improvement as far as maintenance goes.
Can I add one thing to that?
Sure.
You're going to have a hard time shutting us up.
Yeah, we talk all the time.
But I think we have, I mean, I sit on the warrant committee, I look at our operating budgets, and I really think that we have a big financial risk with our current building. There are a lot of problems with it. And things are breaking regularly.
Okay.
So last year you had science labs where the plumbing leaked and it goes through the ceiling into the room below, but you've got asbestos in the ceilings. So now you've got to wall off a whole lot of things in order to remedy it. Once you get into a situation where you're spending a lot of money on these kind of repairs, and we're very close to that, then you risk having to do the project at that moment because you cross a threshold. And we're not code compliant. So, you know, we're grandfathered for now, but as soon as we spend a significant amount of money, we are in for this big renovation. I personally would prefer to do it on our own terms, in a well-planned way, building a project that has been vetted. It's just, to me, it's the fiscally responsible thing to do.
We're going to need to wrap this up soon, ladies, but I do have time for one more question, which both of you can take the time to answer. Why is this grade 7 to 12 building the best option? And it's kind of a two-part question. What will happen if the debt exclusion doesn't pass?
You take the first part. I'll take the second.
So I would say that this solution is the best way forward because it addresses the deficiencies in the building itself in Belmont High School that need to be taken care of. I mean, we're at a point where we've been put on warning by the accreditors that that we are in crisis, that the building does not meet delivery of programs, you know, that we really need to do something there. We've also got this wave of kids coming up. The classes that are coming up and going to be hitting the high school in a couple of years are significantly bigger than the ones that have been graduating the last few years, and it keeps continuing that way.
I heard it will continue, 100 new students a year up until, like, when?
Until we level off, and it's about if about 10 years from now, we're thinking it'll level off or a little bit before then, where our new normal is going to be significantly higher than what the old normal was. It'll be, what, around
5,000?
Yeah, 5,000 students in the entire district instead of 3,600, I think, when John Phelan started as superintendent.
It'll be around 400 students per class.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
It's way more than we had even when my first kid entered kindergarten. And so I think that we have to acknowledge that this is a problem, that we need to be able to deliver these students the education that Belmont knows that they deserve and that we've been known for. And we are protecting our reputation, I think, by moving forward with a project that solves these problems. We're protecting our reputation as a town that values education. So I think that it's important for us to be able to be proud of this project and the fact that it will move forward and be able to provide a great solution for the kids to come.
And if it doesn't pass, Ellen?
And if it doesn't pass, we still have to fix the problems. I mean, the problems are very, very real. We have a high school that needs to be accredited. I mean, very basic. So we have a set of, you know, must-fix problems, and we have to fix them. The alternative is a piecemeal solution that will take over 10 years to roll out, assuming that we as a town decide to fund it. Every year, construction costs go up by 4%. So if we were to hold off on this project for 15 years, mm-hmm. it would be over a half billion, over $500 million. If we waited 30 years, it's going to be $950 million. Right? Kicking the can down the road is not a solution.
And saying no to the state money isn't a great solution.
Thank
as you can see, if you read up on what's happening in Lincoln right now, they do not come back and offer you $80
right.
million dollars again.
Well, ladies, I think we definitely got the message across to our viewers. I hope everybody watching will get out on November 6th and vote. I want to thank you both for coming on the show, the debut of Belmont Buzz. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to especially thank producer and director Jeremy Meserve and Belmont Media Center, Paradise Flowers for these gorgeous flowers, Foundation for Belmont Education for the Bumblebee Antenna, and their Spelling Bee's coming up on November 3rd. And I want everyone to know that if there's a buzz you want to talk about, please email me, belmont@wickedlocal.com. Thank you.